Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
All James is saying is, listen, the Word of God is a mirror. He's going to show you, is everything clear? Is your conscience clear? Is your life clean?
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Pastor Herron continues his series from the book of James today, and we return to chapter 1. We'll take a look at the third mark of a difference maker, responsiveness to the Word.
This next section of scripture in James 1 on marks of a difference maker. And basically, the response to trials and the response to temptations, James now says, let's look at the response to truth and revealed it by these marks. Talks about perseverance in suffering, endurance in temptation. And briefly, I want to look at the responsiveness to the Word, because this is what James' emphasis is in the last part of James, verse 19 to 27. Why in the world did James go into this passage when he says in verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brother? He very simply is saying, listen, because of God's goodness, because of all that God's doing for us, the whole context of this section is you need to end up being responsive to the Word of God. Don't deceive yourself. Don't just take it in and you have no practice to it. Then it is going to put you in a worse condition than the first condition. Very simply, he says to be responsive to the Word, you've got to have attitudes that are going to be necessary for you to respond to the Word of God. What are they? They are so simple, but it's so clear. Notice very simply, number one, you find they were receiving the Word of God. Notice verse 19 to 21, when he makes the statement, let every man, and notice he says these adjectives, or really specifically, the injunctions. He says, first of all, you be swift to hear. You be, number two, slow to speak. And you be, number three, slow to wrath. Why did he say that? Very specifically, what he's saying is, listen, believers are to respond positively to Scripture. You be swift to hear. You be the first one. I want to hear God's Word. But he says, you be cautious about becoming speaker of God's Word, a preacher or a teacher. And in the early church, particularly in the smaller settings of homes, there was a lot of dialogue and a lot of discussion. And that's why he made the statement, not only be swift to hear and slow to speak, but slow to wrath. And he goes into then verse 21 when he makes the statement, wherefore you lay apart. You've got to love the King James. This verse is one of those great classics. All lay apart, all filthiness and all superfluity of naughtiness. Very simply, he's making the statement, listen, you be in a place to humbly implant God's Word by laying apart all of that filth, all the moral, shabby abundance of evil, and you take in God's Word. It is that simple. Then secondly, he moves to verse 22, be doers of the Word, therefore. So he says, you receive it and then practice it. And this is so obvious, and yet he still states it when he says in verse 22, be doers of the Word and not hearers only. If any man be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding himself naturally at your face in a glass. And when he makes the statement here in verse 24, for he beholds himself and he goes his way, straightway forgets what manner of man he was in verse 25, but whoso looks, and the idea of looketh here is the idea of a steady staring into this mirror. And the contrast he's saying is, listen, you be like that person that I'm going to take a long time looking so I know exactly who I really am. And that's what he's talking about, not just receiving God's Word, practicing God's Word. And that's why he says you receive it, you practice it. And thirdly, notice if you would, when he says, well, let's finish 25, who looks into the perfect law of liberty, this man will be blessed in his deed. You know how God says, I'm going to bless you? If you look through the perfect Word that's clear, it'll unfold for you what he wants you to be. And the image is going to be Christ, and you're going to be conformed to his image. The only way you're going to be Christ-like is for you to spend time in God's Word, period. And he makes the statement, it's showing up in these three necessary means. He talks about speech. Notice verse 26, for if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Number two, he says it's not only speech, but a necessary means is for service. He says it in verse 26, if a man seem to be and bridleth not his tongue, deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. This is the service you offer to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. You know what he's talking about? Take care of those people that the world is totally neglecting. God says, listen, you take care of those people. And I promise you, if you take care of the fatherless and the widows, I will bless you. That is a sign of genuine religion. So he deals with the speech. And he deals with who are you looking to serve? It's the people that can't give anything back to you. Now, God said, I'm a father to the fatherless. I'm a father to the widows. And later, Timothy clarifies very clear about what a widow genuinely was. 60 years old, had no family supporter. The church would take them in, totally cover all expenses, taking care of that widow. Now, does that mean, well, if they're not 60 or they have any family, that the church should do anything? Absolutely not. Reach out and help those people. That's why for our own church, the last few years, we've tried to work very hard at if people have needs, particularly in the category of widows or people that are orphans, someone that is in a category where they have no support parentally, those are people God said, I'll honor. If you honor them, I'll honor you. And that's a genuine sign of a pure religious church. And then he says, last, and he closes this in verse 27, with this I close, when he says, not only visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, but notice finally he says, and to keep himself unspotted from the world, or undefiled from the world. And very simply, he's touching on, and he comes up with this same topic when he talks about having a friendship with the world. He mentioned it in James 4:4, and then he also talks about a love for the world in 1 John 2. But all of this is a response to a person that genuinely is reflecting who Christ is. That when you see this statement, and some having compassion, making a difference, and you must be different to make a difference, this is exactly what James is saying. Listen, you cannot say, I'm going to reach out and I'm going to communicate to my world, and my world is just like I am. Or the philosophy is, hey, I want to reach out and I'm going to touch you and you're just like me, or I want to be just like you so that you won't be offended by how I am. And so the result is now I make no difference to anybody. It doesn't take much to do any kind of travel anywhere to realize that you do need to be different. And he's not talking about weird and odd. That's a whole other category. You have a whole groupings of people that say, I'm going to be so odd and so different that the world rejects you. And then you have no voice. I think McLaughlin used to make the statement, be culturally alert, but not culturally bound. And James says it this way, keep yourself unspotted from the world. It's the idea of not having any taint or nothing on you. There's nothing, it's very clear and clean. And when you have something very clear and clean, you have a great freedom with that. I rented a car the other day in L.A. to go up to the college that we were looking at and recruiting. And I have a couple of basic requirements on this particular trip for sure. One was I need to make sure that I can plug in my phone to recharge it. And number two is that the windshield is clear. That's a pretty simple, you know, it's like, that's not hard, right? And so I got into this car. I had choices of about five different cars. And there was a Avalon, a Toyota Avalon. I went over and a brand new Avalon and the key wasn't there. I thought, okay, someone else has that. And then there's a couple of Fords and I thought, I don't want to drive a Ford anymore. And there was a Mercury Marquis. Hey, it's a big car, no problem. Throw my stuff in there and grab the deal and back out. And there was a little deal to plug in. Hey, okay, great. Back out. It was 2 o'clock my body time. And I had another hour and a half to drive north. And so I pull up, and by the time I'm getting up to get out of the rental place, I notice that I can't get my charger into this plug right now. Frustration number one. Number two is I look in the windshield, and it was like it was smudged on this windshield. It was like someone had squirted wax on this thing. And so I'm looking through, and it's all like not clear. No problem. I put a little squirter, the other, and it's like it's not going away. Like, this is odd. And I'm going to go get another car. But now I can't get out. It's like I'm in this funnel. And so, okay, whatever. That's no problem. And I get out and get down the road. And the whole way down the road, I'm squirting this still, trying to clean this windshield, right? And it is not getting any clearer. By the time I get up to the place next morning, now I'm driving back down to L.A. And I pull in a gas station. I'm going to clear this windshield, man. And I get my little deal squeegee, you know, and and it's not coming clear. I'm scraping with my fingernails, and I cannot get this windshield clear. Finally, I get down to my dad's, and it's like, well, it's just an odd deal. I'm going to, you know, make a report because, you know, me and the rental car business were just, like, right there. So I had to take my dad to the doctor, driving to the doctor. I said, Dad, look at this windshield. I said, this is weird. I cannot get this thing clean. All he said was, must have been through a sandstorm. A sandstorm. Didn't think about a sandstorm. It got me thinking about that. So I pull off the side. We get to the doctor, and he said, look at the headlights. So I went and looked at the headlights, and sure enough, the headlight covers have the same pitted dimples on that as it did on the windshield. Because somebody drove through Mojave Desert, which is close. You get going 60 mile an hour, 30 mile an hour winds, you got 90 mile an hour sand, and it's going to wreck a windshield really quick, and that's exactly what happened. I said all this because, very simply, I don't like to drive a car when the windshield is all gooped up. I like it like nice and clean. I like it as my own life. I like my life is nice and clean. Who likes it when stuff's all, and it's not right? Things aren't right. And if you can understand that, you can very simply understand. All James is saying is, listen, the Word of God is a mirror. It's going to show you, is everything clear? Is your conscience clear? Is your life clean? And God will end up speaking to you. And if God will speak to you, the only way He's going to speak to you is through this book. And if you just take a quick glance, boom, and you're out the door, don't be shocked. When I asked at the very beginning, when's the last time God spoke to you? The beginning of this year, I made a commitment. You know what? I'm going to start reading through the Bible every year. I used to do it for years. In the last few years, I haven't. I've spent time studying. It's not like I haven't spent. I've just decided this year, from now on, I said, I'm just going to read the Bible every year. It doesn't take that long. 12 minutes a day, you get through the Bible. 12 minutes a day. A normal reading speed, you'll get through the Bible. And it's been very, very refreshing again. You end up spending time, and James says, in the Spirit of God, He will speak to you. When's the last time God spoke to you? The mark of a difference maker is a person that's responsive to the Word of God. Do not be deceived, James says, that you're just going to take in the Word of God. You hear it, and you make no application all week long, and you come back. Some of you have been to Bible college, and you've never read the Bible in its entirety. I was sitting in a Bible college many years ago, and the speaker made that statement, and I had a dart go right to my heart. You say, well, that's too hard. It's not that hard. It depends on how important is it to you. I cannot emphasize this enough. You cannot know the living Christ. You will not know the prompting of the Spirit of Christ until you know the Word that Christ spoke. This is important, my friend. You will not grow in your walk with God unless you committed to that Word. Not just receiving it, practicing it, and then sharing it. This is what a lost and dying and blind world is so desperate to see. Don't fool yourself.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189. Barragata, Guam, 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.